Before we begin, Simran and I want to acknowledge that we're recording this podcast in person on the unceded land of the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people of the Kulin Nations. We'd also like to acknowledge that we met and grew up together on the land of the Combomary people, and we'd like to acknowledge and pay respects to First Nations elders past and present.
Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. Welcome back to Broadly Relevant.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Simran.
And this is the podcast for burnt out divas.
Trying to stay broadly relevant. Oh my God.
We're in person for the first time in 6 months.
We have seen each other in person, but we've not recorded in person.
Last year was crazy.
It was a crazy time.
And this year is going to be not crazy.
No, totally. What's your motto for this year?
Do lots of things.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Mine is, as you know, to not be kind to myself this year.
They're similar things.
You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes I just was like too kind and I'd let myself not do things that I want to do. So then I didn't do them. But now this year, it's all about being mean.
But that meanness is a sort of kindness as well.
So true. You know what I mean? So true. Meanness and moderation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Broadly culture.
Lots happening in culture this week.
It's so good to be able to time that in real life rather than over Zoom.
Yeah, totally. Us trying to figure out. That is my favorite part, actually. But there is a lot happening in culture. I don't even know which one I want to start with.
I don't know what you're
going to
tell me about.
Oh, okay. Okay, let's start with Manon. Okay, yeah. Great. So Cat's Eye, if anybody is listening and don't know who they are a all-girl group.
Is Manon the one from Melbourne?
No.
I'm thinking of someone in Blackpink, aren't I? Am I thinking of Rosé?
I also don't know if Rosé is from Melbourne.
Rosé's from Melbourne.
I think she's like from...
Sydney? Don't say it.
I want to say Adelaide.
Adelaide?
No, she's from New Zealand.
New Zealand?
But Australian. I knew that she's also Australian.
This is crazy. This is blowing my mind.
Oh no, she is from Melbourne. I gaslit you. Classic me.
No, wow.
Okay, so she is from Melbourne. But I'm talking about a different K-pop group or a G-pop group, as they like to call it, Global Pop.
Global Pop?
Yes, because
they... Is that the new thing?
It's the new thing because they were put together on a Netflix show and now they're a group called Cat's Eye.
I remember their first single.
Yes. Oh, what was it?
I remember listening to it.
Okay. It was called Debut. What was their show's name? So yes, they were put together on a show called Popstar Academy, Cat's Eye. And they were put together by the global like K-pop group called Hybe Records. And they are notorious for kind of being like toxicity mamas kind of vibes. And this past week, one of their members, Manon Bannerman, announced that she was exiting the girl group, which was like very insane, very sad. I'm not actually very surprised by this. And I say this because, just like the vibes are off entirely, I have to say. The vibes are off entirely. They have been doing a lot of different campaigns and Manon has just been like nowhere to be seen.
That's tea.
It's not like, it absolutely is tea because, you know, they're like a 6-person group. You want everyone in the group.
Well, you got to do the brand deals.
You got to do the brand deals. But it's not like it's abnormal for Manon to have scheduling conflicts. That used to be a big thing. Like, she's not in like certain music videos.
Totally.
Like, you know, she isn't in certain photo shoots, but she definitely is like the sole member who kind of gets sidelined quite often, even in like music video and like dances. Like, she'll be at the back and you can't even see her dancing, which is like, that's insane. Like, be a little subtle about it, that's, you know?
But the point is to be seen.
No, exactly. Exactly. Okay, this is like my sad take, but like, when I first saw her on the TV show, I didn't like her. But it's because of capitalism and because she is half Swiss Italian, half Ghanaian. And she comes like from like Europe, Scandi culture, where like mental health is like really, you know, like up there. And so she used to basically skip out on, and like health is like very important, obviously. And like
in
rest
Europe.
Is important. Yeah. In Sweden? I don't know where she's from. I think it's Switzerland. Yeah. Yeah. She's Swiss. Yeah. But
like,
I think
she's
lived
Swiss,
in.
So she never shows up.
No. But basically, basically, she used to take a lot of like days off, essentially.
Totally, totally.
Because she was like sick or like needed a mental health day.
Yeah, I mean,
sort
we've all had mental health, you know.
Yes, we all have it. Yeah. But I thought at the time, because of my capitalistic girl boss rotted brain.
Oh, she's not going to make the money for the company.
And she's like not working. She's like not committed, blah, blah, blah. But actually, she was just a human being. And like, a, you know,
she
early
really
20s gal.
The money.
Well, yeah.
Do you think she was pushed out or do you think she jumped?
Well, here's the qualm. Okay. So it was set up to be so the announcement was set up to say that she's focusing on her health and well-being. And then shortly after, Manon sent a message directly to fans via Weverse, which I made an account this week.
Weverse.
It's a fandom platform. So a lot of K-pop groups will like put out their announcements on this platform and then like different idols can message their fans like directly. And you can follow like the different like, you know, members in the group and there's different like, it's kind of like a Patreon, I would say.
Gracie Abrams has an account.
Yeah. Everyone's doing it.
Wow.
Yes. Okay. So she sent this message on Weverse and she clarified that she's healthy, but that sometimes things unfold in ways we can't fully control, but I trust the bigger picture. So this statement obviously was like way sus and, you know, set everyone on fire. And it also brought in the question about the fact that she is the only black member of the group.
Racism.
It all comes back to... So amidst like all the chaos, Manon actually liked a social media post which read, "Another black girl subjected to racism and label mistreatment yet again."
Love
that.
I think that's the most powerful way of issuing a statement.
Totally. By liking
just a single post.
It's so important. And thank you to the fans who put in the work.
Because it's not easy on Instagram anymore.
No. And I'm honestly, it's kind of incredible work. And then screenshotting and then spreading. It's
exactly.
Like every fan is a social media manager.
No, and fandom is labor.
No, fandom is labor. And nobody talks about that. But obviously, you know, that kind of sparked like a fresh wave of conversation about race. And she really does get a lot of hate and a lot of like racist like beratement throughout the whole situation, throughout being in this group. And so this creator, Simply Simone, she put it really well. She said, "Why is it that whenever we have a sole black girl in a girl group, she is the victim and the most suffering? This has honestly become a trope in pop culture." And she compares the situation to Normani from Fifth Harmony and Leanne Pinnock from Little Mix, both of whom who've spoken, you know, about being isolated in the group and that their management did not do a good job at supporting them through the racist hate that they would get. You know, there was no like statement about, you know, like talking to like the fans. And I think that's like it's quite a normal thing within like those types of fandoms, especially because you're so close, as we see like on Weverse. I think it's like normal to protect your artists in a way. I don't think that's exclusive to K-pop or hype group, but I don't like it, you know? I definitely don't like it. And then recently, yesterday, Manon followed Normani and Leanne as well.
Wow.
Yeah. And they're all going to get together and curse on everyone's names. That's and like, I hope so, at least.
I love this energy because it's like reading someone's body language. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like when you see the people who are like, "I'm lip reading" on the TikTok.
Yeah.
Like watching someone's comments and likes the same thing.
Yep. So important. Yeah. Some people are like, you know, they think that it like means nothing like a like is just a like. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, it's everything.
Because even like when I'm liking things and I'm like a micro celebrity.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I can't like that post about that show that I don't like.
Yeah.
Even though the content was good because someone will see.
Totally. Or like, okay, on a normie level, when there's like a post about, you know, like maybe like struggling at work or like a breakup, like you can't be seen to like that because your boss or your ex might see you like that. Yeah.
Exactly.
So this is speaking volumes and I'm here for it. So I hope that Manon is okay, you know?
Fingers crossed.
Because although I didn't vibe with you in the show, I vibe with you now, okay?
What else is happening in culture?
Okay, more racism.
Wow.
Classic
culture.
Is this
the BAFTAs?
This is the BAFTAs.
I skimmed this on TikTok.
Okay.
I'm across it.
Love that. So yes, the BAFTAs were this week. And I'm not gonna lie, I always forget about the BAFTAs. Side note, I always forget about them.
What do they stand for? British Academy of Film and Television Awards?
A. Awards, yes, that makes sense, rather than A.
Am I right?
Yes. I don't. Oh, no, you are. The British Academy Film Awards. So during the ceremony, a guest with Tourette's syndrome, John Davidson shouted the N-word while Michael B. Jordan and Delroy Lindo were on stage presenting an award. Obviously, that is a very jarring situation. The BBC decided to air this, the slur coming out, although the show itself is not a live show. It's a 2-hour delay. So they decided to air this. In the show itself, the host, Alan Cumming, explained to the room, like, why the slur was, like, said out loud and, like, who did it, basically, and stressed that the tics were involuntary and not intentional. And John Davidson was in the room because there is a movie that's, like, it's based off of him. It's called I Swear. So, like, it's, you know, it's a biopic, so that's why he was in the room.
Yeah.
Anyways, so obviously it was a very jarring situation. It was an atrocious word to be yelled out. Both Michael B. Jordan and Delroy Lindo went, got through the award, like, very, graciously. Like, they got through the whole thing. They didn't acknowledge it in the moment. But yeah, obviously the whole thing exploded online because, first of all, the BBC decided to post it.
That's crazy.
And there was definitely a conversation around whether or not this was, like, intentional and whether or not you can give a pass to someone who has Tourette's. I, not having Tourette's and not being a black person, obviously should not have an opinion on this.
Okay, no opinions.
Okay, no opinions. I think the more concerning, the concerning thing that I saw about the reaction online is how quickly we jumped to assign blame to someone.
When we should be assigning it to the BBC.
When we should be assigning it to the BBC. Yeah. Especially because they did decide to censor other things in the broadcast instead.
And what else do we pay our TV licenses for?
So true. What they did decide to censor was a speech by director Akinola Davis Jr., because he ended his acceptance speech by saying "Free Palestine." In the show, there was no "Free Palestine."
That's crazy.
So they have the ability to censor what they would like to.
And we'll circle back to people not saying "Free Palestine"
in Broadly Deep. But they have the ability to censor what they like to, but they're, like, actively choosing not to.
Yeah.
And I think I want to talk about the reaction a little bit about, like, online trying to assign blame, like, who is the villain? Immediately it's, you know, people who don't understand Tourette's syndrome or the fact that, you know, this person is racist, you know, like, who's to say? But I think we needed a second and to understand and not just be like, oh, I've done, like, my research on this. Like, I know what Tourette's is. Oh, like, I saw a video being like, my cousin has Tourette's syndrome and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, this is just, it's not, that's not what we need right here. It needed a beat.
Do you think that the decision to air it came from, like, a place of, like, if we put it in, it's going to generate so much engagement that, like, it'll make the BAFTAs go viral?
Interesting.
Or do you think it was just like, well, we have, like, a top-down order to cut everything about Palestine, mm-hmm. but there's nothing about anti-black racism, and so that's why they left it in? Like, do you think it was, like, a considered thing, or do you think it was an oversight?
I don't know. That's interesting. I absolutely don't think that it was an oversight. I don't know. I think there's...
How do you miss that?
There's
an
argument to be made that, like, that if they did choose to cut it out of the broadcast and it somehow leaked from someone's phone or something like that, then it would be like, why are you censoring this? Like, the reality.
Well,
but
why,
I think
why did you censor Free Palestine?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think it's, like, net harm.
Yeah, yeah.
All the decisions from the BBC.
For everyone as well. Because I'm like, it didn't have to be... Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's so sad because it's another moment where people of color, where black people have to, like,
have to consider
this in a moment that should be about, like, just celebration for them, you know? It's a huge deal that they were there presenting these awards, being nominated. Like, it's exhausting to have to consider race in every situation as the person of color, you know? And then to have to, like, prove that it should be considered in the first place yeah. is exhausting. And I'm, yeah, sad for them for sure. I guess legally I should say that the BBC did apologize. They said Tourette's syndrome is a disability and the tics you have heard tonight are involuntary, which means the person who has Tourette's syndrome has no control over their language. That's what Alan Cumming said. Sorry, the BBC said some viewers may have heard strong and offensive language during the BAFTA Film Awards. This, and then they said the same thing, basically. But yeah, it was very silly. Very silly. The guy, John Davidson, he also came out with a statement and he said that he removed himself halfway through because he found that his tics were getting so bad, but yeah. wanted to reiterate that they weren't intentional and they are involuntary.
Broadly News.
So I figure, should we start with like the fun thing? The funny thing?
Okay.
So I don't know. I mean, I know you know this, but the Gold Coast is set to get Trump Tower by the end of the decade, which I think is so camp.
Uh-huh.
So a local to the Gold Coast property developer, what's his name? David Young. So like 19 years ago, he just like cold called a member of the Trump family and
yes.
was like, let's bring Trump Tower to the Gold Coast. And it took 19 years to get to the point where they were willing to announce
wow,
it publicly.
He really said, why don't you just call Taylor up?
Which is crazy. And so like what they're looking at building is a 340 meter tall building at 91 stories, which will become taller than Australia 108, which is Australia's current tallest building in Melbourne. In mm-hmm. Melbourne, we have it. In mm-hmm. Melbourne. Isn't it funny that when we moved to Melbourne, the tallest building in the country moved to Melbourne as well?
Wow.
Do you think
we
about
did
that?
Yeah.
So it'll be taller than Australia 108 by 15 meters. Also, it'll become the tallest on the Gold Coast, obviously, because that's
yeah.
currently held by the Q1.
Yeah.
It'll best the Q1 by 20 meters and about 13 stories. Which
remember
like,
when the Q1 was the tallest building in Australia?
Remember when the Q1 was the tallest residential building in the Southern Hemisphere?
Remember when the Q1 was somewhere like people wanted to go to after school years?
No.
Sorry, you weren't invited.
What happened at the Q1?
I think that somebody had like a...
Is this when we had like opposite. Dinner that one day and I did a tack bomb? No.
No.
Okay.
Maybe. That's when we started our eating disorders.
No, they started before then.
Oh, okay. That's what you taught me.
No, but that was a tack form from like alcohol. That was a separate tack form. Anywho, moving on.
Okay, moving on.
So I think it's pretty crazy. You were saying that apparently they don't have like actual approval to start building, but like they're like in talks with like the City of Gold Coast.
Yes. So they still need to give their like formal development application. But the acting mayor, Mark Hamill, was like, well, we welcome the investment and we'll consider it like when it comes through. Eric Trump, though, has like been super excited about it and is like posting all about it on his Instagram
Cringe.
And story. He's the guy who's like actually in charge of the project.
Did you know how, guess how cheap apartments will be? Just guess. Throw a number out.
Okay. 1 million.
No.
10 million.
Too high.
Too high, sorry. I know what it is.
Yeah, apartments are going to start from $5 million.
Perfect.
Which I'm like, $5 million for an apartment in Trump Tower?
Crazy.
Who is spending that money? And the answer is, I think we know a lot of the children of people who are spending that money.
Totally.
But also, have you looked up where the property is?
No, where is it?
So you know the Mac is at Cavill Ave?
Yeah.
It's literally one block south from that.
Wow.
Yeah. So like,
hit that.
That's the new schoolies destination, I reckon.
I guess. It's like, okay, so Tom Tate, the mayor of Gold Coast, he's been mayor for so long.
Do we
also.
Like him? I kind of like...
Like,
it feels
what's
like
going
Stockholm
on?
Syndrome.
I don't know. It does feel like Stockholm Syndrome. I feel like I didn't really know anything about him when we were living there, but I was also a teenager. So I...
You know, I saw him in Jesus Christ Superstar.
In the show?
Let me fact check that right
okay.
now. That's a lie. That's a lie. I did not see Mayor Tom Tate in Jesus Christ.
Lies. I also thought for a second that he owned like the island rooftop for a second, but that's also a lie.
I
so.
Think what I'm referring to is when I saw Gold Coast City Councillor Bob LaCastra play King Herod in Jesus Christ Superstar in 2014.
So true. That must be what you're referring to.
But I did see a Gold Coast councillor in Jesus Christ Superstar.
Okay. Well, my MO on Tom Tate, TT, is that he is... is no good because he literally went to Mar-a-Lago in Florida, met Donald Trump, and was like, blah, 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 I love you. He didn't say that. Sorry, that's not an exact quote. I will say that.
No defamation lawsuits.
No defamation lawsuits.
But like, if you're not from the Gold Coast, you just need to know Tom Tate is like, I don't know how to explain Tom Tate.
I actually don't know how to explain him.
He's the mayor. He's like a former real estate agent.
But he's like a character, you know? Like, he feels like a character from a TV show, like from The Simpsons. But he, yes. Right? Don't you think? But he said, Tom Tate said this. This is from the Gold Coast Bulletin as well. I love this whole story.
Our favorite Murdoch rag.
He said, he shook my hand. And this is Trump. Trump shook my hand and said, Mr. Mayor, you're very welcome to our residence in Mar-a-Lago. And all of a sudden, I felt like he knew who I was. And I'm like, what fan behavior? This is fan behavior to the next level. Like, who didn't tell you I love you as a child, you know? Yeah, crazy. And then he was like, putting the Trump brand on the building, it will take it next level and all the Americans will know.
I do find that so funny because do you remember when Kamala did her speaking tour last year and the only place she visited in Australia was the Gold Coast?
Yes.
What's going on with the Gold
What's
Coast?
What's going on with the Gold Coast?
Something's happening. First Kamala and now Trump.
Too much is happening.
What next?
We already have Margot Robbie. Margot Robbie can be our person from there, you know? That can be what has put us on the map.
I do love all the Wuthering Heights discourse. It's like, wow, two Queenslanders on the world stage.
Yes,
like,
totally.
Yeah, two Queenslanders.
You want to know my Wuthering Heights discourse?
Sorry. I
know it's not part of the schedule, but it could have been a music video. That's my whole take on it. But it just should have been a music video. Yeah. It didn't need to be a two and something hour movie. It was insane. But I will say though, going to see it in a cinema, an incredible experience because everyone was giggling. It's not supposed to be funny, but it's
beautiful.
Everyone was laughing in that. I mean, it was a pretty movie. That was about it.
Well, in other news of things not to laugh at, do you want to talk? Should we talk about the arts funding environment in Australia?
Hey, that's a great idea.
Slash, and I've tacked, this is one and a half topics that I want to talk about.
Okay, yeah. You said you had 2.5 tickets.
I know, 2.5 topics. The Victorian arts funding environment and the polling that shows One Nation is leading in the Victorian polls. What's going on in Victoria, you guys?
Wow, so true. Kind of getting crazy. Yeah.
No, and it's like, should we go back to Queensland?
Yeah.
Because at least they've got the Liberals in power.
Yeah, crazy.
So I figure let's like start with like the One Nation polling stats. Yeah? Okay.
Let's.
I'll read the quote from Roy Morgan Research. The tea is that, so we've got an election in 9 months, and according to a survey that they did of 2,462 people who are like voters in Victoria, One Nation preferences are at 26.5%, which is ahead of the Labour, which is at 25.5, and also ahead of the LNP, which is at 21.5.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts?
I saw. Okay, who is Roy Morgan Research?
They're like a research company.
Okay, great.
They do like polls. They're like, ring, ring. Who would you vote for?
Ring, a ring, ring.
Yeah, which I find really interesting because there's now this the dominant narrative of like, oh my God, One Nation is like leading. One Nation is going to win. One Nation is going to become like in government, which like, first of all, I don't know if Pauline knows her way around a spreadsheet to run a government. But like, second of all, I saw a really interesting TikTok from Lamestream, who are like my favorite political government newsletter / TikTok and podcast in Australia. Go follow them because they're better than us.
Period.
And it was essentially like a compilation of the way that the media has been speaking to like One Nation party members. And every question is framed as like, you guys are doing so well. You guys are doing so well. You guys are doing so well. Do you think you can succeed? You guys are doing so. And it's like, there's something about the implicit framing that the media is approaching One Nation with that I think also is like shoring up support. And then there's the other context of the way that like One Nation used to be framed and talked about in the Australian political environment, like when they were like coming up in the 90s. That's crazy. They've been around since the 90s. You know what I mean? Is that it used to be like very much like signpost that, oh my God, Pauline, sorry, I had a thought where I was like, I shouldn't refer to her just as her first name. That's unprofessional. And then I was like, fuck Pauline. but like Pauline used to be very like signposted as like ultranationalist, far right, you know, all that. And now it's just like, it's kind of treated like a little bit more edgier than the Liberals, which is kind of actually insane. I guess also the Liberals have been like pushed to the right in recent years as well. But it's just weird how like, it's weird how the right keeps getting normalized. You know what I mean?
No, isn't it crazy?
Because do you remember when she wore a burqa? Like, that was crazy.
Yeah.
You know, like.
That was like also recently, again. Like,
she keeps doing it.
She keeps doing it.
You know?
This is, okay, this is so crazy of me to segue to, but like, the way that the right organized is so interesting and like quite obvious. It's obviously like very effective. I say that because this past week there was like a TikTok controversy between Jeff Kasubi and Georgia. They're both like left activists and political commentators on TikTok. And
I'm not across it.
Not like super across it either, but there was like plagiarism allegations and it was just like a lot. And I think Jeff Kasubi ultimately he came out with an apology twice. Georgia then, you know, looked into the apology and kind of like picked it apart, I would say, in my opinion. And it kind of like started this dog pile on Jeff Kasubi. And it like really, I zoomed out of it and I was like, oh my God, this is why the right is winning.
Yes.
No, I was just like, 100%. You know, like.
But I think it's twofold because I think on the one hand, like part of why the right dominates media environments is because I think broadly they have less ethics, so they can play dirty.
Yeah.
Whereas probably I think, and what do I know? I feel like the left is more committed to ethics. So part of that comes with like policing people's ethics, but I don't know if that policing is necessarily productive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think probably the way we should approach ethics is more like, I'm going to do this because this is how I feel it's to be done. But like everyone has a role in our media environment. And like, if you want to say inflammatory leftist things to try and pull people over, go off, girl.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's fair. I feel like, we have a responsibility to like uphold like the standards that we like set for everybody else.
Yeah.
But I guess it's like, where does accountability come in through?
Also, our commitment to the standards means that when the zone gets flooded with shit, thank you, Steve Bannon, we're like flooded.
And this is why I go follow Lamestream.
Do you know what I mean? Like, we're drowning. Anywho.
Go follow. We'll put in more, you know, good takes about this.
But yeah, so then what I'm also finding interesting is how within Victoria, so there's been a raft of news articles. There was a big one in The Guardian the other day talking about how Creative Victoria, which is our state arts funding body, has been like slowly losing their funding, which means the arts sector has been losing their funding because they do a lot of the arts grants and stuff. And it's like we've lost like $20 million in arts grants over the past 5 years, which is crazy. And that's like a lot of money because that's like a quarter of the funding that was there. Right?
Yeah.
So that's like a significant loss to the sector. And like, you know, everyone's in crisis. Everyone's losing their funding. Everyone's running around like a chicken who lost their head because like the chickens lost their head. And it's like really bad. It's really bad. It's really sad. But what I found really interesting, amongst other things, is that there was this whole takedown of the current government and their lack of priority for arts funding, written by the shadow minister for the arts, who's obviously a liberal. And I find it really interesting the way that like the liberals who we know when they were in power, they were behind like the Brandis cuts, which I don't know if you are familiar with the 2016 cuts to Australian Council funding, when they basically made it so that Australia Council could do less funding at arm's length from like ministerial decision making and also cut a bunch of funding. Like we know that that's the party that does that. And now they're like, oh, Jacinta Allen is defunding the arts and that's so bad. We believe in culture. And I'm like, I know you don't, but it's this weird thing. This is so off topic now. But when I was when my department at university was getting cut, mom was giving me advice, which was like, you just need to like go pressure, because obviously you're not going to get listened to by the minister who's in power. So you need to go talk to the opposition minister. And I'm like, but what if the opposition minister, like, I don't like their policies? And she was like, no, they're the ones who are just there to put pressure on it. And you lean on them even in these times. And it's this weird thing where I'm like, oh, so we like the Liberal Minister for the Arts, Shadow Minister for the Arts right now?
Yeah.
It's, I don't know, playing the game is very weird. You know what I mean?
It is very bizarre. This is, somebody told me once that you shouldn't marry, you can't kill, okay, this is like off
fuck,
topic,
Mary
but
kill.
Like, no, fuck, Mary, kill. This is a little bit off topic, but I guess the same, but you can't kill capitalism, you shouldn't marry it, but you should be fucking it, which is a crazy, crazy
you
thing.
You shouldn't, why shouldn't we kill capitalism?
Well, you can't.
Why not?
Because we live in the framework, and if you can't, and like, we need money, and blah, blah, blah.
We're in the framework.
We're in the mainframe.
Totally, totally, totally.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So like, if you can't kill capitalism, don't marry marry it, just fuck it. Yes. And I think that's kind of,
treat it like a situationship.
Yeah. Yes. Treat it like a situationship. Treat the potties like a situationship.
100%.
Similar to when, this is not similar, but similar-ish, when Zoran Mamdani got elected into office in New York.
I still like him. Don't do this.
Totally. Totally. I found it really great, and it really turned something in my brain because, you know, I was like, oh my God, love his policies, love this man, blah, blah, blah. People were like taking off stickers from their like, what about whatever, you know, being like, okay.
Because you don't support elected officials.
No, you're now you work for us. So like, you know, like prove to yourself, prove us that we elected you for the right reasons.
To be fair, it seems like he is. Like when he like did kindergarten funding in the first like 10 days, I was like, fuck yes. but that's the thing, you know, because even like when Albanese got in, what was it last year? Mm-hmm. And it was like that, like, oh my God, like the Liberals are fucking dead. And who was that bald fuckface from Queensland? Peter Dutton. When he like got kicked out of his seat and we were like, oh my God, this is so good.
Yeah.
Is it good? Like, you know, Albanese invited that other fuckface.
It's like Herzog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So many fuckfaces. And it's like, you know, fuckfaces come in all colors.
Yeah. This is not going to be monetized, let me tell you that. When is anything about it?
Can we say we once got like a brand deal?
No, we can't say because I'm still banking on them.
Broadly deep. So Simran and I went to see Lorde for the second time together in our lives.
Yes, and by that we mean we didn't realize we were at the same Lorde concert and we're in entirely separate seats. But then after that, we ran into each other because we had Find My Friends.
And then we had milkshakes at Flinders Street.
Yay, it was so nice.
It was so, you actually, you didn't have a milkshake.
No, I
Everyone
didn't.
Everyone else had a milkshake.
Everyone else had a milkshake, but I, for once, for one day of my life, I wasn't feeling bloated and I didn't want to risk it.
But I thought we would just debrief after Lorde.
Yeah. Honestly, it was, not to be dramatic, but like,
the best concert I've ever been to?
The best concert I've ever been to.
Because I said that about Lady Gaga last year.
Yeah.
And I think the same thing. Because Lady Gaga brought a level of theatricality and like storytelling
that I haven't seen in a long time.
Endurance. Mm-hmm. That like, because Taylor went for 3 hours, but Lady Gaga had really considered artistry. And I also think Lady Gaga, anywho. We won't talk about Lady Gaga. But then Lorde, oh my God.
Incredible. The way that I would describe Lorde's
presence,
music, the whole concert was that it was a release. Mm. And I felt like it was, everybody needed it in this moment. And she really gave us something that we were all like craving. And it was just like a mix of, it was so community.
It was. No, and because I was saying this when we were like walking into Rod Laver, because I was like clocking the vibe of the crowd and I was like, these are all like 12-ies. Like some of them obviously were like 24, but you know, 12 is a state of mind.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you guys definitely listened to like Charlie XCX when Brat came out and now you think you like Lorde. And I'm like, you weren't there. You know what I mean?
So true.
You weren't in the, you weren't listening to Solar Power, okay? Yeah. Where were the folks at the Solar Power tour?
So true.
Where were you at the Solar Power tour?
I couldn't get tickets. So,
okay, well,
you know, I tried.
And I was like very like wary and I was like, oh my God, this crowd is going to be like what songs are they going to like? You know? And then I heard someone like saying to someone, they're like, we're just here to listen to Team. And I'm like, and respect. And because I love Team. Like,
Who doesn't?
Major respect.
Who doesn't?
But I'm also like, I'm actually here to listen to Virgin in full. You know what I mean?
Okay, all of it is,
I need a bit of Solar Power as well.
All of it is acceptable. And I think that was one of my favorite things about the concert is that I feel like a lot of artists don't really like playing their old music and like their come ups. She did it, like the second song was Royals, you know? I feel like she really honored all parts of herself and all parts of her artistry. I had a friend in our like group chat who like we went together with. She was like, I can't wait to feel 15, 23, 30 and 32 all at once. Yeah. And that's exactly what it was. Like it was
Adele found dead.
Yeah. Pardon?
21, 25.
So true.
19.
So true. You literally just looked at something at your laptop, so I just thought that Adele died. Oh my God. Wow.
That was exhilarating. No. But yeah, it was, and the thing that I was really, really tickled by, because like in the past, I don't think I've ever seen her with dancers on stage.
No, neither.
And so that was really exciting. She had like two dancers who were just doing this like simple kari, and they were never really doing group kari. They were just like dancing in the background. And I was like, the way that like this is evoking the storytelling vibe of her work, I don't know. I was fucking hooked.
It was awesome. Also, the use of AV. Ryan, as soon as I saw him, he was like, the AV. And he was like, we'll save it for the pun.
They were like, she was like projecting lasers onto the screen, and then the screen was responding to the lasers. And like, I was talking to, I went with a friend who's a musician, and she was telling me like, yeah, it was like really live, like the music. And I was like, that's great, because I don't fucking know what that means.
I hope so.
But she was clocking the dials and the machines, and apparently most of the backing was live, which I think is so cool. Yeah. And what I enjoyed about the AV was how it was highlighting that. Like, they had the cutaways to like the machines with the buttons on them.
The instruments.
Yeah, let's go with that. They had like the sound files on screen. I was like, there's something really interesting about the revealing of the like, it's not like she's not trying to conceal it behind this like magical aura, but like just revealing it to us beautiful communal art making.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like there's always such a rawness to Lorde as an artist. I don't feel like she's hiding anything or like trying to put anything on. And I think there's like place for like putting on like a persona. I think I really 100%. Enjoy that, actually, you know, but I think in this moment, like, it was needed, like, you know, someone who in this moment, it's so appreciated, someone who is just like fully raw and like wanting to put it all out there and not embarrassed of like different parts of herself that maybe she doesn't align with. And she was saying that in her, you know,
absolutely,
in her little speech to us. We were night one in Melbourne, that she,
well, she said, Melbourne, I've been coming here for 12 years. I've been so many different versions of myself sitting on stage in front of you, but I really feel like tonight the woman who is here is a very pure representation of who I am. There is very little distance.
And yeah,
like, that's profound.
So profound. So profound.
Because also, back to the kari, like, I feel like she's been like the butt of the joke in so many past years about the way she does her kari, and like it's very like daggy.
It
really felt like if there has been a vision that she's building to, it's arrived.
And for someone who is in GA, like, she's been like made fun of for being like a weird dancer, I feel like that allowed us all to be weird
dancers,
you know? Yeah. And I was really grateful for it, honestly. Like, there was a girl who was alone next to us and like didn't come with anybody.
Yeah.
She joined into our group.
Beautiful.
Like, another group behind us joined into our group. And even right at the end, when she came on for the encore for Ribs, that like changed my life, because she was like, don't look at me, look at your friends. And we did.
Yeah.
We literally did. We were dancing in a circle. I was like, I'm waiting for someone to post. This sounds terrible. And the opposite of what she wanted. But I'm waiting for someone
to click that sound effect.
To have filmed us secretly and watched it, being like, oh wow, this is girlhood, you know? It's the opposite of what she wanted, and I'm aware.
Though.
Yeah, no, totally.
But beautiful. I love that.
But beautiful.
Also, some other quotes, because I pulled through some quotes that she was saying last night, a couple nights ago. She obviously loved Melbourne. She said, I remember the last time I came to Melbourne, I had an epiphanic experience. I was completely obsessed. Like, truly, I could move here. And she recalled, and she was talking about the last concert that I was at, the Solar Power Tour. She said, you were levitating. You were so happy to be back in a crowd, and you gave me something that night. And I'm like, I have given something to Lorde.
Wow.
That's crazy.
You did that.
Let's talk about the elephant in the room, though. Every other night of the concert, she said Free Palestine, and she didn't say Free Palestine our night of the concert.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Let's talk about that. No. Yeah, I don't know.
The thing that I'm always curious about.
She did the lights, but that was about it. Yeah.
She did have the lights, but I was like, it's very subtle.
The lights, which have the colors of the Palestine flag.
Because the thing that I'm always curious about is like, how much of like those little like speeches and monologues are like pre-prepared? Mm-hmm. Do you think she has a little notes app that she's like putting thoughts in during the day?
I have no idea.
Or like, because like with Lady Gaga, I'm like 100% all of that is like rehearsed down to the, you know, like Lady Gaga's not saying anything off the cuff.
Yeah.
Unless it's during like one of those piano songs.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then I'm like, Lorde, maybe you were making all of that up on the.
I could see her making it up. I'm sure she has dot points. I think she probably has like, she journals probably. I see her journaling.
She does. I mean, are you on her newsletter?
No. She's a newsletter?
Yeah. She likes, I started it around like the Solar Power time. She like sends it out like once every 6 months. It's beautiful.
That's so nice.
You need to get on Lorde's newsletter.
I am like not a fan of.
Reading.
Ain't it true, babe? If I'm off the clock. I'm off the clock. But I am not a fan of artists' newsletters for some reason.
Some of them are really bad. Like Charlie XCX should get off Substack, 100%.
No, I just feel, I'm like, you just said that you loved her newsletter.
No, Lord.
No, get it?
I get it.
That was really good. I liked the joke.
But Lord, I think, I mean, the part of the reason I love Lord is because of her writing, and it shows in her newsletters as well.
Yeah.
And speaking of her writing, the way that I could like feel all the words reverberating with new meaning. Oh, she's so good.
Okay, reverberating.
She's so, what was that word?
Reverberating.
She said? Is that how you say it?
I'm so sorry to yell at you like that. That was reverberating. Really mean of me.
Is that how you say it?
Reverberating.
I've never said it like that.
Reverberating.
I've always said it like that.
Hey, and now you know. And we don't have a monopoly on knowledge is the thing.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My brother told me that. He's like, you don't have a monopoly on knowledge. And I said, whoa, you clocked me.
Totally. Anything else to say on Lord?
I think the reason why we were so passionate about bringing this up is because for the first time in a long time, I just felt joy.
Yeah.
And like artistry and passion. And it was nice to, like, I felt like I was having like a guilt-free experience at enjoying art, you know?
Yeah.
It's a lot of layers that you have to think about a lot of the time, but you know, the layers were taken care of for me at this concert. Yeah. Also, Rod Laver Arena, great venue. Awesome venue. I was in GA and they like blocked out the sides, and so I could just like go to the front basically, and I got there at like 8.
Great.
And then when she like went to the back of the room, because she walked through the crowd to the like to the other side of the
That's so metal.
Stage, totally. And then got into that stage. So obviously then we become at the back of the room. But because then they opened up the sides, so then we were allowed to go like around her, and it was totally fine. And then we were just like dancing with each other anyway, so it was totally fine.
Oh, yeah.
I just freaking loved that night, man. It was so fun. Music should be fun, and actually they shouldn't cut funding.
You heard it here first, folks. Should we check out?
Let's.
What was like your favorite song from Lord? Should we just say that?
Ooh, I thought it was going to be Favorite Daughter because that's my favorite song of hers on the new album. But I think it was Big Star, which I didn't know.
No, because I remember outside Flinders Street and I was like, did you like Big Star? And you're like, don't know what that is.
Yeah. So I'm sure I did. And then that's all I've been listening to after because you clocked me.
Solar Power, good album.
Yeah.
I think mine is probably, I want to say Current Affairs or Supercut.
Oh, Supercut was awesome with the treadmill, and then she wasn't going forward, but she kept running. So good.
So good.
Thank you so much for listening. If you liked this episode, give us a comment, you know?
Yeah. Also, join our Substack at the link in the description.
Yeah. And also follow us on Instagram @BroadlyRelevant. Sorry to yell at you like this.
Love you. Kiss you.
We love you. Bye.